always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
All right, the final thing that we want to talk about, but is probably the maybe most important part, bullet point on that right side of your guys' screens. Austin Reeves might return as soon as Wednesday. Now, as I said a little bit ago, I have asked around and nobody is willing to like definitely say, yep, it's looking good for Wednesday. People are just kind of like, you know, maybe, hopefully, right? It'd be great. But the thing, with Austin coming back and his return, I think coincidentally, but coinciding with Luka, playing a little bit more off of the ball and it becoming just clear as day obvious that Gabe Vincent shouldn't be a very big part of the rotation here moving forward. This is a team that kind of found an identity that Austin fits very well into. And if Luka is willing to move and be productive off of the ball, that means you can do like LeBron Austin stuff on the strong side with Luka as a legit threat on the weak side. You could do Austin Luka stuff with, Luka setting a screen and Austin getting to run the offense through there. Obviously you want the ball in Luka's hands more than anybody else on the team. So you could run Luka Austin inverted screen stuff that, gets Austin in the short role. Hopefully Austin coming back gets DeAndre Ayton to remember that he actually likes playing basketball. That would be great to watch as well. This is a development, Austin potentially coming back on Wednesday and Luka playing a little bit more off of the ball. This is something I've been saying all season long. If the Lakers are going to be a legit title contender, they have to be top three offense. They have to be absolutely elite offensively. And they specifically need to thrive when Luka and Austin and LeBron are on the court together. And I don't think that this team was capable of thriving with those three guys on the court together if Luka didn't buy into a few possessions here and there off of the ball. And now that we've started to see a little bit more of that, and now that the Lakers are maybe getting Austin Reeves back and Luka and LeBron have gotten on the same page during Austin's absence, like, stars are aligning is all I'm saying. Now, I'm not going to go out and I'm not going to hyperventilate and overreact to those stars potentially aligning, but this feels good. This is a good spot for the Lakers to be in. This is a great spot for Austin to hopefully come back into. And, it's just like, I didn't want to start the season with LeBron out, but because LeBron was out, we saw Austin really take a leap in that early part of the season. I didn't want to see Austin, miss 3-4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks or whatever it's going to finally, whatever the final number is going to be. Actually, it's going to be. So the Lakers announced that he was going to be reevaluated in 4 weeks on Christmas or the day after Christmas. I'm recording this on January 26th. So it's going to be almost exactly a month or 4 weeks. But like in those 4 weeks, maybe LeBron and Luka got onto the same page in a more productive manner than they would have if Austin was still available all this time. And like what you always have to do is, just try to turn any negative into a positive. And then you try to keep that momentum rolling through the neutrals. And then when you get another positive development while things are really rolling, then you do whatever you can to compound that positive momentum. And so hopefully here, you know, you have this positive momentum as Austin is coming back with Luka and LeBron getting onto the same page together during Austin's absence. And now hopefully Austin comes back while the Lakers have the ball rolling in the right direction and only, you know, puts a little bit more oomph on that ball moving in that right direction. And we'll see what it looks like. There's probably going to be some growing pains as they figure all of this out. But Austin coming back as soon as Wednesday would be really great to see. And fingers crossed that we actually get to see it. All right. Before I get to some of the questions and comments from that we've kind of accrued over the course of the show, I wanted to play this for you guys because it was such a funny ass play. Now, it was the kind of play that like old man in me or like old coach person in me was like, dude, you're only up by 12. What do you? Oh, Hayes. And see if you guys notice Stu Lance's reaction to all of this as well. But here's Jackson Hayes ripping Josh Giddey, taking it on the breakaway and putting it between his legs and freaking out every Lakers fan watching in the process.
How about full game magic right now?
That one, a defense by Jackson Hayes.
Jackson Hayes on the way. Yo! Jackson with Millen.
Jackson.
Now, I tried before we went live here, I really tried to find a longer version of that clip that featured Stu Lance just laughing his ass off. I'm going to play it again. Just pay extra close attention to Stu Lance's reaction, though.
How about full game magic right now?
That one, a defense by Jackson Hayes.
Jackson Hayes on the way. Yo! Jackson with Millen.
Jackson.
Stu Lance was laughing, I would say, for a good minute or two after that play. That was amazing. Now, again, Jackson does that up 12 with like a minute or two to go. And this is the same Chicago Bulls team in that same arena, by the way, that the Lakers held a like 16-point lead late in the game and they choked that away. So I'm watching Hayes go up for that dunk, only up by 12. And I'm like, shit. If he misses this, they are definitely making a three-pointer on the other end, and it'll be a nine-point game, and a timeout will be forced, and everybody's going to be like, you idiot, you this, you that, and stuff. And instead, he makes it, and the Lakers go up by 14, and the Bulls never got anywhere near them ever again for the rest of that game. But it was just like, please make it. Please, it was like Sandlot, right? Where Smalls is in left field or whatever. Please catch it. Please catch it. Please catch it. And then he goes through and like, oh, thank God. Wow. Look at Jackson go. We knew that he's a soup, you know, obviously crazy athletic. He's 7 feet tall and apparently has good enough hand-eye coordination to pull that off. But that was a really funny moment that I thought was worth shouting out here in the episode. Before we get to some of you guys' comments, which we have a couple of super comments, and that means that I get to play the most important sound on the show.
Fuck Washington!
All right, so the first starred comment here comes from... No, it's not. I have one... No, we have a couple extras from earlier. Hold on. Let me just... All right. Brandon Olamang writes, what do we do with DA? Benched again. No more Gabe, please. On the Gabe front, Gabe played only 12 minutes in this one. So if you're just looking for like, and Drew Timmy played 0 minutes in this one, he got out onto the court and promptly got elbowed in the face. So he was taken out of it. But if you look at minutes here that Austin could take a few of here and there, I actually think he'd probably take a few of Jake's minutes. Jake played 33 in this one. I think you would probably take, you know, 5 or so minutes from Jared Vanderbilt. That gets you to about 10 or so minutes. Luka played 38. Maybe you take five or so of those, that gets you to like 15. And then if you take away all of Gabe Vincent's minutes, that gets you to like 27 or so. And then if you find another five or so minutes somewhere elsewhere in the rotation, you get to about the number that you would like to see from Austin. And, you know, all I kept on thinking about, though, from this game was like, man, all these minutes that I'm watching Gabe Vincent play basketball, this is about to be Austin Reeves. Because here's the thing. I wasn't sure that Rui Hachimura was going to start when he came back, and he did. And it was like, all right, that's the right basketball move, but sometimes coaches, you know, think of these things differently, or they take different things into account that I wouldn't necessarily take into account. That didn't happen. Rui Hachimura remained on the bench. And I'm hoping that that trend continues here, where it's like, look, the obvious thing that clearly needs to happen here is for Austin to come back and to take all of Gabe Vincent's minutes, right? Gabe Vincent played 12 minutes tonight and grabbed one rebound and dished out three assists. He scored as much as you and I did. And so, like, it's this very clear thing that obviously needs to happen, and hopefully it does. And I feel like, I haven't asked anybody about this, but I feel like this is how this is going to play out, where Austin just comes in, takes Gabe Vincent's 12 minutes tonight, takes about five or so minutes from Jake LaRavia, takes about 5 minutes or so from Jared Vanderbilt, takes about, you know, five or so minutes from Luka Doncic, and then, you know, maybe a few minutes here and there from some of these other guys. And the Lakers have a rotation that has crazy firepower on the court at all times, is more balanced than I think we saw it earlier this season. And look, like, if I'm wrong here and Gabe Vincent continues to play and Austin takes all of like Vanderbilt's minutes instead, then we'll call that out. But hopefully that's not how this plays out, and we won't see any more Gabe. Now, as far as what we do with DeAndre Ayton, I'm fine with, you know, team fire him into the sun. You have five games in a row of somebody playing with this low of energy. Either something else is going on behind the scenes, or we're watching somebody just quit on a season. And five games in a row is not a small sample when it's this clearly below, you know, substandard play and substandard energy. So as far as like what the Lakers do with DeAndre Ayton, my guess is, and this is just a guess, now I guess I'll ask around about it, but my guess is Ayton caught wind and Ayton's people caught wind that the Lakers are looking to bring in a starting center at the deadline, and he would be part of the outgoing package. That's it's just like, it's too sensible an explanation. Now, again, any number of other things could be going on. You never want to make any assumptions about somebody's personal life. I don't know, but five games in a row of Ayton playing this poorly is pretty brutal. And look, flat out, Hayes has outplayed him in those five games. And I think Drew Timmy has brought more to the table, especially relatively speaking, than DeAndre Ayton has. So, and again, what it all just kind of comes down to for me is like, if you are serious about winning a championship this season, if you're like, if Rob Pelinka is going to sit there at the press conference and look into the camera and say, we are trying to win a championship, then DeAndre Ayton cannot be your starting center. He just cannot be. The Lakers made a gamble on him, and they hoped that maybe he would be something closer to what we saw in Phoenix than what we saw in Portland. And I do think for the most part over the course of the season, he has been more Phoenix than Portland. But, he hasn't been so close to Phoenix Ayton that I would be comfortable going into the postseason with him as the starting center. So Yeah, what do we do with DeAndre Ayton? You send him to Brooklyn with some expiring money and whatever draft capital that you need to send to bring in Nick Claxton. That's what you do with DeAndre Ayton. Let's see. Let's go back up to the top here because it wiped out. All right, here we go. Justin Tindall, trade DA. He sleepwalks out there. So Justin agrees with Brandon Oeming. Matt Chu, Anthony, do you think Portland would accept Dalton and Vando for Time Lord? It frees up long-term money, frees up a roster spot, and gets us further below the hard cap. We could use Time Lord pretty bad too. No, I don't think that would work. I don't think Portland would accept that. I don't think they would want Jared Vanderbilt's long-term money. Now, they did kind of like him, right? Back when the Lakers and Portland were talking about a Jeremy Grant deal, Portland had some interest in Jared Vanderbilt at that time. So maybe you could convince him to do that. The only thing is there, you'd better have a separate deal lined up with Ayton and other expiring money to go out and get a, you know, athletic wing who is as impactful as Vanderbilt has been recently. Because I don't think there's any reason to have Time Lord and Ayton and Hayes and Timmy on the roster at the same time. That's too many centers. So if you're going to do that, then you got to do something else with some of these other centers there. And now look, the other thing too is Portland, under, Paul Allen, I think was the previous owner, before he passed away, they did not make trades with the Lakers. Jody Allen has, continued that tradition. Now the Blazers have sold and we don't know what the stance is going to be with the new owner there. But that has not been a trade connection for the Lakers for the last several decades. What I do think is worth pointing out, though, is that Joe Cronin, who got an extension, and basically everybody in Portland got extensions, but Joe Cronin and Rob Pelinka talk about as much as Rob talks with any other front office person in the league. There are a lot of connections internally with Portland and with the Lakers. So like it is lined up to where you should be able to figure out a trade, but you know, for whatever reason over the years, they have not been able to. And again, like if they do figure that out, then you got to do something else with Ayton. And then even then, I don't know how comfortable I would be going into the postseason with Robert Williams as my starting center. Seeing as he, you know, has the injury concerns that he has. So, I like him. He's athletic. He's an impact defender. He is a lot of the things that the Lakers really need from that possession, from that position. That said though, it's a little tricky with what other moves that you have lined up afterward. And it's tricky because Portland hates the Lakers. All right, next super comment and shouts to everybody for these super comments. I really appreciate it. John Holmes, Vieto writes, okay, that's not what I'm going to do. Ryan Lucas, LA is the 5 seed right behind 4-3. Make a trade, Rob. Literally could be right in the championship mix, even with marginal moves. DA, Gabe, DK, Maxi, and a first plus first swaps. Would that trade package result in a championship? I don't know that the Lakers have enough assets to win themselves a championship this year, but I do think they have more than enough to give themselves a better chance at a championship than they currently have. And I think they have enough to do that while also positioning themselves for the roster that they're going to be looking to build over this summer as well. What I don't think they can afford to do is sit out this transaction window altogether and then basically just plan on having Gabe and Maxi and Rui and Ayton and potentially Smart, like to have all these guys' contracts expire at the end of the season and then try to do enough work after that all happens, try to do enough work in this upcoming summer to then make themselves a championship contender going into next season. I think you got to do a little bit of work now. You got to do more work in the summer, and then maybe even have to do more work in the following trade deadline to make yourself a championship contender. But what you cannot do is continue to kick that can down the road and procrastinate, you know, heading into next the next transaction window. That's not something that the Lakers can afford to do. So, I would like to see the Lakers get a starter. I would like to see the Lakers get somebody who will definitely be in the rotation next year. And that requires creativity. It requires committing chips into the middle of the table. It requires Rob Pelinka to care about role players. And we will see if he is able to check all three of these boxes in the next 9 days or so. Oh, wrong button. Whoops. John Fuentes, 4264. You heard any trade rumors? It's been silent. Talked about this in yesterday's episode. Because it's a question that I understand. I'm going to get a lot between now and the trade deadline, but essentially the entire league is waiting for something to happen with Giannis, right? So either he tells the Milwaukee Bucks, all right, I am committed to you guys through the end of the season, or he and his people go and talk to the Milwaukee Bucks and say, all right, we're probably done here, you know, and please move us to somewhere that we have a better chance at winning a championship. Now, apparently there's a rumor out there that Rich Paul is trying to get involved as Giannis's agent, and he's trying to convince Giannis that, you know, he is the kind of agent who gets his stars to the destination that they want to get to. Given that Jeannie, Rob, and LeBron all just had to clear the air, I don't think I would say that I'm rooting for Rich Paul to become Giannis's agent. But, you know, at the very least, if they did clear the air and if that conversation was productive, and then if Rich becomes Giannis's agent, then maybe, just maybe, you know, that gives the Lakers a bit of an inside track. My thing is, Giannis wanted to go to the Knicks last offseason. The Knicks didn't have enough stuff to trade for Giannis, so nothing ever came of that. Giannis apparently would also like to go to Miami because it keeps him on the East Coast and it's warmer than things currently are in Milwaukee. And even on, the Northeast region of the country. It's kind of clear that Giannis, for whatever reason or for whatever combination of reasons, would like to stay in the East. And my thing is, I just want to know as soon as you possibly can know, and then have everybody else move on as quickly as possible. But as far as Jason, your question goes, things are so quiet because not only is everybody waiting on what's going to happen here with Giannis in terms of teams hoping that they could land Giannis, but then you have all of like the supplemental moves that get made as a team kind of positions itself for Giannis. You have the actual trade of Giannis to whatever team he goes to, and the number of teams that it usually takes to grease those wheels, and you have teams kind of lining up and positioning themselves for that as well, if that's how this is going to play out. It's this whole thing. And my thing is, I think because there's less competition for, you know, a non-Giannis player, that this is actually the time to call up Team X about player Y and be like, hey, you know, you have 10 days or so to trade this player. Otherwise, you know, their market becomes completely different after the trade deadline. There's nobody else that you're talking to. Can we, you know, can we have more productive conversations? And I would like to see, like, I think some team is going to swoop in and get a good player from some other team because everybody else is so focused on this Giannis situation. And that team is going to be really happy that they were realistic about the fact that they didn't have as good a chance at Giannis as they wanted to convince themselves that they did. So we'll see how this all plays out, but that's the reason for the lack of noise to this point. Justin Tindall wraps us up here with, do they ask Bron his plans before the deadline? Ooh, well, look, yes, is the short answer to this. The, you know, LeBron and his camp and meaning he and Rich Paul, the plan apparently was to get together with LeBron or with Jeannie Buss to hash things out. You had that, you know, reported animosity between or from Jeannie in LeBron's direction. They're going to ask about that. I'm sure there's going to be some conversation about like, hey, you know, we hear about that animosity in a season after this last summer where you wouldn't even approach the negotiating table with us about our current contract or what it would look like if we opted out of this current contract to see if we would take, you know, maybe a 2-year or a 1-1 type deal. There was no conversation there. So what gives? Like, how do we actually stand here? And we will see how that conversation goes and what comes out of that talk. And so, look, I don't think we will get any definitive, like, unless Rich Paul, like, hops on his podcast and, you know, spills the tea on how that conversation actually goes or if it actually took place or whatever. That would be, like, the only reason I would tune into that show is, like, all right, how'd that conversation go? And but, like, that said, I just don't expect him to actually share those details. And we would just, we'll have to judge either A, whether or not that conversation actually takes place, or B, how productive that conversation actually was if it did take place, by the actions from everybody from here on out. Now, look, in terms of like the actions of the person who actually matters here, LeBron, I think, has been really effing good this year. I think he's been, like, since the beginning of the season, I think he's been very professional about this whole thing. I really liked the kind of basketball that he's been playing lately where he's picking and choosing his spots and he's trying to, you know, get his legs underneath him as kind of a off ball or, for lack of a better term, 3-and-D type of player, like, you know, super wing type of deal. Like, I have actually really enjoyed watching LeBron this year. And I think, given that his situation is like completely unique to this specific situation, like, we've never seen this before. You know, Pete and I talked about this on Friday. The Lakers have never experienced anything like this. No basketball team has ever experienced anything like this. No superstar has ever experienced anything like this. No younger superstar has ever experienced anything like this. So you have this spot where everybody is just kind of walking out on the ice together and they're just kind of trying to navigate this all together. And sometimes you hit, you know, rough patches where everybody falls. And sometimes, you know, everybody gets their feet underneath them and you make a couple of strides here and there. But for the most part, this is uncharted territory. And it is kind of a daunting situation where there's a lot riding on everybody navigating this to the best extent that they can for themselves and for each other. So my guess is, yeah, there will be some kind of conversation with LeBron about, hey, what do you want to do this year? Like, what are your plans moving forward? Is there anything that we could do to put you in a better spot that actually meet what you're looking to accomplish moving forward? Can you accomplish what you're looking to accomplish moving forward here? Like, those are all conversations that, that need to take place, and they need to be productive, and they need to be honest, you know? You know, people need to be willing to hurt feelings there, and we will see what that actually looks and sounds like whenever we finally either see everybody's reaction on the other side of those conversations, or if we ever hear anything about those conversations. All right. I am going to do, I'm going to, you know, quit while I'm ahead and jump on out of here. The hope is tomorrow I have a guest lined up so that I'm not riding solo for a lot of these conversations. And hopefully we get some good news between now and either tomorrow or now and Wednesday when the Lakers play again. And if we ever do get some of that good news, I will be either live here in the lounge to break it down, or you could check out my breakdowns of more kind of situational things as they pop up on the Offsides app. That's offside.gg is where you can find that stuff. So until the next time you guys hear from us or me or anybody on this channel, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.